Well, there is a story, though I can't vouch for its total truthfulness, about a former British ambassador in Washington. He was rung up one afternoon and asked what he'd like for Christmas by a journalist from the radio news. Well, concerned not to make himself open to accusations of corruption, he asked simply for a box of crystallised fruit. Well, he thought little of it until a few days later on Christmas Eve, the ambassador and his wife switched on the radio before turning in for the night. The news ended with one of those "and finally" type items. We asked three foreign ambassadors what they would like for Christmas. The Russian ambassador said he would like to see peace in the Middle East. The French ambassador hoped for an end to world poverty. And the British ambassador asked for a box of crystallised fruit. Well, that ambassador miscalculated somewhat in his answer. But more seriously, of course, the replies of his ambassadorial colleagues remind us that we live in a world that is not what we would like it to be. In many ways, with wars, the economic situation, poverty, injustice, relationship breakdown, personal suffering, and so on, this world can indeed be a dark place. Well, one of the striking things about Christmas, of course, is the symbolism of light that we associate with it. So this evening we are enjoying carols by candlelight. We have just read of the true light that lightens everyone that has come into the world. And we've sung, "In the dark street shineth the everlasting light." There's a desire deep within us for something positive. We yearn for some hope, for the hope of something better, brighter lives and a brighter world. While it was very much a dark world into which the prophet Isaiah spoke a message from God some 2,500 years ago, David read it for us, and you'll find it on the back of the order of service, Isaiah chapter 9. Now, for the people of the time, life was bleak. Much of the country had been taken over by a foreign power. But the people knew that the problem was deeper than merely circumstantial. They had turned away from the Lord God who had provided for them and given them so much. Their darkness was not just political or economic, it was spiritual. Now, what Isaiah spoke of was still ahead, but he wrote with a sense of the time being so real and so certain that he could express himself in the past tense as if the future had already arrived. And the theme of brightness piercing the gloom is powerfully expressed. Line 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." But what was going to bring such light to shine in the darkness and to replace people's sorrows with joy? Well, the reading includes some of the Old Testament's most famous words. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah makes clear that the Messiah, or the Christ, God's special king, would bring God's light. And the titles associated with this one that we remember being born in Bethlehem take us to the heart of Christmas, for they show who this child is and what he was coming to do. So we see as we encounter this reading that the child who was born is God himself in human form. A little boy at school was set a project to investigate his family tree. Well, he came home and found his mother and said, "Mummy, how did I get here?" Now, his mum didn't want to go at that point into the birds and the bees, so she said, "The stork brought you." "Oh," he said. He then found his father and he said, "Daddy, how did you get here?" And he too, not wanting to go into the details, said, "The stork brought me." "Really?" said little Johnny. And since Granny happened to be staying, he went and asked her as well, "Granny, how did you get here?" And Granny said, "It was the stork." So next day, the boy went off to school and began writing his project. "There has not been a normal birth in our family for 3 generations. Well, Isaiah speaks of a birth, the birth of a truly extraordinary child. This son who has been given to bring light to this dark world is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. For you see, what Christmas points us to is that God has become human in Jesus Christ. This child is fully human and yet also fully God. We began this evening singing, He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Someone has put it like this: God became a human being. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed, needing to have his nappy changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he shall be called Mighty God. Now what this shows is that God has not left the world in darkness. In his undeserved love, he has come himself and got involved in situations so often made dark by our human selfishness and greed. This child shines the light of God into our human experience and makes God knowable. So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Read about him from the Gospels. See how this unique God-man gives us the most compelling evidence for God and for what God is like. Incidentally, something that the popularizers of the so-called new atheism seldom seem to engage with. Well, this child shines the light of God into our human experience and brings God into those experiences with us. That God became human and lived on earth means no experience that we have is beyond his understanding and empathy. He has faced suffering, pain, rejection, opposition. He knows what you and I face in this dark world. He has been there before us. He understands. And he also knows the joys and the pleasures of the best of human life. And so he can share and enhance those for us too. The child who was born at Christmas is God himself in human form. But we also see here that the child who was born came to make possible peace with God. While on maternity leave, a woman from a city office brought in her new bundle of joy to see her colleagues. She also had her 7-year-old son with her. Now everyone, as they do, gathered around the baby, and the little boy asked, "Mummy, can I have some money to buy some lemonade?" "What do you say?" she asked. And respectfully, the little boy replied, "You are thin and beautiful." So the woman reached into her handbag and gave her son the money. Well, very often, we human beings live life in such a way that we only hear what we want to hear. However, Christmas reminds us that there is a truth about ourselves that we need to hear that is rather less appealing. This child, born in Bethlehem, came to be the Prince of Peace. He needed to come because we human beings, made by God, have a problem with our Maker. We've all fallen out with him, and we prefer to live life without him as the loving ruler of our lives. And this is the root cause of all the darkness we experience in this world. And it puts a blockage between us as human beings and God. A little later on in his book, Isaiah says, "Your sins have made separation between you and your God. They have hidden his face from you." Well, the great message of Christmas is that despite this, God longs to have us, people he has made who are at odds with him, back in a relationship with him. He wants us to be at peace with him. God loves us so much that he has sent a peacemaker, a Prince of Peace, who can bring us back to God. You may have heard in the news that last Monday that US diplomat Richard Holbrooke died suddenly after emergency heart surgery. Now, Holbrooke had become internationally famous in the 1990s when he was a special envoy in the Balkans. His peacemaking negotiations pretty much ended the terrible Bosnian Civil War. Sadly, though, it seems that he was less successful in the situation in Afghanistan, where his bulldozer approach was rather less suitable. But the tributes paid to Richard Holbrooke are a reminder that good peacemakers need to understand both sides of a conflict and must somehow find a way to satisfy the needs and issues that the separated groups have to deal with. Well, the amazing thing about the one born to be Prince of Peace at Christmas is that he is uniquely well suited to bring about the most important peace, peace between God and us human beings who have fallen out with him. So you see, Jesus, the one who is mighty God and a child who is born, is both human and divine. And so only he can represent us to God and God to us. But it was what he was going to do later that makes peace with God a real possibility. There was a little girl who went to see the Christmas lights in her town. A church building had a nativity on display outside. "Isn't it beautiful?" said the little girl's grandmother. "Well, look at the animals and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus." "Yes, Grandma," replied the girl, "it's really nice, but there's one thing that bothers me. Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? He's the same size he was last year." Well, of course, in real life, the child who was born did grow up. And when he was in his 30s, he died. He was killed. And it is through that death on the cross that peace has been made. At great cost on the cross, the one who is both mighty God and Prince of Peace made peace possible between God and humans. As the perfect peacemaker, Jesus, God in human form, represents God to people and people to God. He understands both and satisfies the needs and issues of both. Jesus stood in for those who had turned from God and justly took the rap that they deserved, that they need not. As we repeat every year, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." But this is a peace that we must personally benefit from. Now, I think we're only now 6 days away from Christmas Day, and none of us, I'm sure, still has a present left in the front room from Christmas 2009. Of course not. We gratefully receive the gift that's offered to us by a friend or a loved one. We take off the paper, we get into it, we make it our own, and we enjoy it. Well, so it is with the peace that Jesus, mighty God in human form, has made possible through the cross. We must turn back to God, taking on his rule in our lives, his government, as the reading puts it, and then trust in what the Prince of Peace has uniquely achieved in his life and death on the cross. And then we can join him with others who have been reconciled to him by Jesus to bring his good, loving rule to bear more and more in his world, and to look forward to the day when he returns, when all darkness will be replaced by God's light. Well, our world can certainly be a dark place, but Christmas shows us that God has come in the person of his Son to shine his light. The child who was born is God himself in human form. And the child who was born came to make possible peace with God if we turn back to him and put our trust in him. For to us a son is given, to us a child is born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's be quiet for a moment, and then we'll pray. Of the carol we sang a few moments ago, make a suitable prayer. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today.